Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore Scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are moving on to Psalm 66, How Awesome Are Your Deeds.
Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turns the sea into dry land. They pass through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You have laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips mutter and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened and has attended to my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Thank you. Yes, so this is a song to the choir master.
No, I was going to say, it's also not of David, so there's no, like, kill my enemy.
That is true. That's right.
David,
that's true.
Oftentimes is like, somebody is coming to get me, so please.
Although when I was studying it and looking up different commentaries, they do often refer to the psalmist, which is David. But then this one, I guess it's just whoever wrote it. Because there are some similarities
with
65.
Unknown. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it doesn't say that it is from David. But it looks to me like, when I was looking at it, it looks like there's maybe five verses with a little tag at the end. Like, you know how we sing, and it's got this one has the Selah in it a few times, which we do see throughout the Psalms, but it's not overly common.
Nope.
But it is there. So, like, this one starts then, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Same as the 65, all the earth, right? Again, speaking to the whole world, not just Israel. The psalmist realizes that God is God over all.
Yeah.
So shout for joy, proclaim that God is God. Excuse me. Then it goes on in verse 2, sing the glory of his name and give him glorious praise.
Yeah.
So there's this joy, they're singing and shouting for joy to God, and out of that joy, the response to that joy is singing the glory of his name and giving him glorious praise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that shout too, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not quite so, it's almost like at times in the Bible, it's not so much about being musical.
Right.
But being loud.
Being
like
verbal.
Being passionate.
Yeah, don't hold back.
About what you're doing. Like that guy that sings behind you in church that is totally off key, but he just gives it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good guy.
That's a good guy.
That's the kind of person we need around us singing.
Just somebody who doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
Right? That's
exactly.
Exactly. And then verse 3 says, gives a little bit of instruction. You know, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
Yeah.
So there's some guidelines on how to praise. So, like, say it. So don't just hold back, but be verbal.
Yep.
Be vocal. Talk about how great. Sing about how great is the Lord's deeds. Say that out loud, right? Because spoken praise here, especially, is an important part of our worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in your head, in your heart, in your mind, in your quiet prayer life. There's a time to be vocal and loud about your praise to the Lord.
Yeah, and it helps remind us, too, what God has actually done.
Yeah, right? You talk
like
about
you
his awesome deeds.
You don't forget because you talk about it.
Exactly, and you encourage each other. There's a little bit of that encouragement of the body, edifying the body in that praise of God and reminding each other what pardon me, what God has done.
Full disclosure, Teresa and I are both sick. So
I'm sorry, guys.
My voice is gravelly, and she apparently is having a hard time breathing right now.
Just the whole breathing and everything is not working the way it should be. But
and my ears are plugged. Oh, so
we're just going to lay everything out. Just where does... Yeah,
there you go.
Anyways.
But God is good.
God is good. And that... So reminding each other of the awesome deeds, but also the recognition of his great power, right? You're so great that the enemies submit to you.
Yeah.
Right? Verse 4 continues and says, all the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Mm-hmm. Not just to you, to your name. Like there's this layering here of all of the praises. Yeah. Not holding back. And then we have the first Selah, right? So there's a quote that I read about this. A little pause. For holy expectation is well inserted after so great a prophecy, and the uplifting of the heart is a seasonable direction. No meditation can be more joyous than that excited by the prospect of a world reconciled to its creator. So here it's saying how all the earth worships, right? There's this break to just contemplate, to praise, to take that moment and ponder on a world completely in, what is the, I don't even know what I'm looking for here, but reconciled to to God, to the creator.
Yeah.
What would that look like?
Well,
amazing.
And that's the thing. We will see that at the end of
one day.
The age when Christ that's returns. Right. That imagery that is given to us in Revelation where the faithful will be gathered up and the unfaithful
that's right.
will bow before the king before they are
That's
sent
right.
to where they are destined to be, right?
What? Yeah, exactly. So then there's this moment of take that pause, right? Holy expectation.
Yeah.
Verse 5 continues and says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. So here's that invitation. Come see his awesome deeds towards us.
Yeah.
There's that encouragement again. Recount what he has done, right? And then verse 6 goes into what he has done for the people of Israel.
That come and see the works that God has done, though, I think that's the part that we miss in church so much, is that we don't actually let the community around us see what God is actually doing amongst us.
Or even sharing with our friends. Do we do that?
Because it is hard to explain sometimes, like God miraculously did this thing or worked out this situation and other people are like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can probably explain that a different way. And, you know,
it's
good
true.
Fortune, circumstances, whatever. But it kind of makes me think of, anyway,
downplays.
Back to like the plagues in Egypt.
Well, right? That's where they go.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's you know, Moses and Aaron came and a plague was poured out, but then the magicians mimicked it, explained it.
Yeah.
And explained it until finally they
downplayed it.
Until finally they weren't able to.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And that's, I mean, we miss that. But you have to actually be willing to say,
no,
this is what God has been doing. This is what God is doing.
And this is what he has done, right? Like verse 6 talks about, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Yeah. So come and see his awesome deeds. This is, I'm going to speak how he has rescued, how he has preserved, and how we rejoice in him because of that. Right?
I think they're talking about the Red Sea or the Jordan River there. Because it does say river. I wonder if it says that in the language.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm now curious. So, sorry.
I'm now curious. Verse 7 continues and says, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. So you have how he's rescued, preserved the Israelites, right? See what God has done, but also recognize that he rules forever. Before us, after us, he will rule forever. And he keeps watch over the nations. Right. Then it goes on to say, let not the rebellious exult in themselves. And we know, like from reading, we have the Old Testament in front of us and we are on this side of the cross. We know that it's futile, that it's madness to put yourselves against God. You're not going to win. So you can be rebellious to him, but it will only be for a time.
Yeah.
Did you find your answer that you're looking for?
I did. Verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land. Mm-hmm. That word is very clearly sea.
Yeah.
And they passed through the river on foot. Mm-hmm. That is very clearly river. So it is probably both.
Well, because those are both things that he has done.
But this is, sometimes you get go back, and if you're able to, you find a device or maybe you take the classes and learn how to do it yourself book it into linear book.
Hebrew.
Going back and looking at the Hebrew, and you can kind of see, like, hey, it's mostly used like this. And sometimes commentators make choices that maybe it could be another way.
Right.
It'll mean basically the same thing. So there, I was just wondering, is this specifically referencing both...
when they were brought out of Egypt?
Both the Red Sea and the Jordan? Or is it only one or the other, right?
Right. Well, and I like how it did both, because it is saying, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds, plural, right? Like God has, he has rescued us more than once. He has done miraculous and amazing things more than once. Yeah. Like we can recount them.
Well, they had to be rescued from Egypt, then they had to be rescued from their wandering.
Yeah.
And then they're put into the promised land where they need to be rescued again.
Constant. Right? It's constant. Exactly. And then at the end of verse 7, we have another Selah, right? So another pause. Think about what God has done. Think about his, how he rules, how he's watching us. Ponder on that. And then it continues in verse 8, bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. So bless him, praise him. We are to praise him in all that we do, but we are also to encourage and point others to do the same.
Yeah.
Right? O peoples, bless our God. O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. So this is kind of like not the individual, but all of us. We are to all. And if you see someone not praising, especially if it's another believer, why? Encourage them. Point them to Jesus. You know, recount what he has done so that we can praise him together.
Yeah.
Right? The goodness of him. So then verse 9, it says again, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. This is why we praise him.
Yeah.
He is our keeper. He preserves us. He's the one that keeps our soul among the living. He's the one who does not let our foot slip.
It's true.
He's in control of our lives. And then verse 10 says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. So here we have God testing us. We know this. Sometimes his blessing comes with difficulty. Right, and then it goes on to describe what this testing looked like in very clear images.
Yeah.
Right, it says, for you brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us to a place of abundance. So he goes through, like when it talks about silver, that's like the heat that burns away the impurities to make you pure.
You boil out the
waste. That's not comfortable.
And then skim it off and throw it away.
Exactly. And into a net, right? Like we were free, but now we're caught in this net. You know, there's this crush and this pressure on our backs that you feel so heavy. And then men riding over our heads through fire, through water. All of these images we look at and go, no, that's uncomfortable. I mean, painful even.
Yeah.
And yet, I love the very last one of verse 12. Yet. You brought us to a place of abundance.
That's why I'm confident, like when you were back in school age, those people, they're like, I love tests. It's like, you're weird.
You're a weirdo.
Tests are supposed to be uncomfortable, right?
They are usually.
And so I know for some people, like if you're really good at math, you know, a math test probably doesn't terrify you. But for a great number of people, you learn from a young age, like tests are not a fun thing.
No, that's true. That's true. And this is a good reminder to us that without those hardships, without those tests, we would never experience the abundance and the joy on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? One of the quotes that I came across said, the main end of our life is not to do, but to become. For we are being molded and disciplined each hour as God's children.
Yeah.
Right? Verse 13, excuse me, and 14, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. So here we have those vows made when he was suffering. Here we have the character being revealed, right? God was generous and God brought the best, or he brought God the best of what he had, right? The best offering. The vows that he made through suffering, he is fulfilling, but not just doing it barely, like, okay, I promise this, I'm going to give this. It's like, I promise this, so I will give you everything.
Yeah, exactly.
The best of what I have. So there's this character. Oftentimes, when we're in a hard spot and we say, God, if you'll just do this, I will do this. And then how many times at the end, when we're comfortable again.
Didn't mean it. Fingers were crossed.
Yeah, fingers were crossed. Do we actually follow through? We're here. It's no, you let your vow be fulfilled, right? That's what God requires of us when we say that. And then in verse 15 talks about how Again, his best offering, right? Yeah. This is more of the character. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. Yeah. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. So now things are good, and he is honoring them.
I know, and I love that. Hmm. I love the fattened animal, and the offering is the best part, and it's like the fattened bit. Because I'll be honest, when I'm barbecuing, I eat that part.
Well, I lived in Africa.
Outside first.
And that was the part. Right? Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Like straight off the grill. If there's a little bit of fat that comes off of that baby, I'm eating it.
Well, it is interesting because that's where a lot of the flavor is anyways.
It's delicious.
But when we were in Africa, we would buy some of the street food.
Yeah.
And they were often in, you know, stomachs and intestines and all that. And it would be, I think it was coupe coupe or something that we bought, but it was pork, I believe. And the best parts were fat. But then, of course, us being from Canada, we're like, oh, can you give us the meat?
I like the meat. Yeah.
But to them, they loved that part.
Yeah.
Because that was the best part.
Until I went on mission trips, I never knew the joy of eating fish cheeks.
Okay.
It's fatty, meaty muscle that makes their mouths work, right? So
that makes my stomach hurt a little bit.
It's
I can't say I've ever had that. Because we cut the head off. And we don't even really use it, do we?
But I was in Southeast Asia where we were. You got the fat piece of pork. As the North American missionary visitors, we got the fish head.
Okay.
That's the best part.
Interesting.
And you got to work for it, but it is actually pretty good.
You got to work for it. I mean, they did serve whole fish, which again, right. We don't tend to do here either in Canada. So the best parts, he did not hold back from God, but gave him all of the best.
Yeah, so you have to actually stop and think about what this is saying. What is your fatty bit?
Right, best?
Because it's the burnt offerings of the animal. That's the best parts that God wants, and God wants us.
Well, the fat
not
does
not
burn
the
lovely.
Right?
Yes.
He would rather have us. So what is the fatty part of your life that you need to give to him? What is that?
Yeah.
What is that? That sweet aroma of your life that would be
considered
would be the good offering.
The best offering. Yeah, that's a good question. I like it. Then verse 16 continues, says, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. So they're talking about telling of the great deeds. Again, that encouragement that here they're singing this together. And I imagine there's also times where they share this together verbally, not just to sing it, say what he has done. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. It's like, this is what I did.
Yeah.
I cried to him. I praised him. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So I am without sin, right? Like, if I had been saying all of these things, didn't mean them, if there was falsehood in me, the Lord wouldn't have listened to me, right? This is more than a promise. He was obedient to God. He trusted him, praised him. Therefore, God listened. And we know that we can't fake it before God. We know that God sees our heart.
Yeah, and we can't forget, though, the order that this goes in.
Yeah.
There's the offering, the sacrifice.
That's right.
There's the praise.
Yeah.
Sacrifice cleanses. The praise puts you into that
worship. That's the joy. Yeah.
That's when there's no iniquity in the heart, right?
Because that's right.
Because you've been purified.
Yep.
The psalmist had been purified and cleansed and renewed because of the sacrifice.
Because of his obedience and because of his repentance and his humbling before the Lord. God listened to him and heard the voice of his prayer. So this causes him to praise even more because of God's goodness.
Yeah.
Right? And then we get, so that's kind of like the end of the five verses. Then we get to like the little tag where it says, blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. That's the reaffirming for the amazing privilege that we have to go to God in prayer and to have him answer our prayers. Not just go to him and pray, but there's this interaction, his caring and his love for us in that he answers our prayers. And what is our response? Praise.
Yeah.
Right? And then it ends with, he has not removed his steadfast mercy from me or love from me. Mercy and love given, not because it was deserved, but because of his great love, right? So the final gratitude here in this psalm is not for the answered request of the prayer necessarily all by itself, but for what it signifies, an unbroken relationship with God the Father.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that ending on that high note, that ending after it's quite a positive psalm, right? Recounting, praising, recounting what God has done. He's answering our prayer. He loves us deeply. And I think this psalm is a great reminder to us that we need to praise. That troubles do come, but they make us more like Jesus. And that brings us joy.
Yeah.
And this psalm affirms God's amazing mercy to us. And because of Jesus, we have an unbroken relationship with God the Father.
Yeah.
So be encouraged today.
Well, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or a comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.